Кому-то хочется верить, что тот же самый Купянск, 4 ноября, напомню, глава киевского режима сообщил о том, что он через 5-7 дней будет в руках ВСУ находиться. Сейчас, как известно, группировка противника там полностью ликвидирована. Значит, получаем заходы о прекращении боевых действий там, там, там. Войска Украины уйдут из занимаемых ими территорий. Вот тогда и прекратятся боевые действия. Не уйдут, мы добьемся этого вооруженным путем.
In the last 100 years, Russia has attacked more than 19 countries, some as many as 3 or 4 times. None of these countries has ever attacked Russia. So in any peace agreement, we have to put the focus on how to get concessions from Russian side.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, November the 27th, coming to you from Sofia, Bulgaria. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone celebrating this Thanksgiving Day, and let's talk about some news. But before we get to the big news stories, let's give this video a like. Let's subscribe to this channel if you want, and share this video as well. Because who else is going to deliver the news from Sofia, Bulgaria, while standing in front of the Korea food market? That is reason enough to give this video a like. And by the way, look at this, huh? Sofia, Bulgaria. I'm telling you, it is a walking museum. The entire city is history. It is a museum. Everywhere you go, you run into beautiful churches and ruins and monuments, statues. It's fantastic. So let's talk about some news on this rainy Thursday. And in the United States, we have a tragedy that occurred yesterday in D.C. We had two U.S. National Guardsmen who were shot in D.C. It has been confirmed that they were killed. And it has also been confirmed that one of the shooters was from Afghanistan, seeking, I believe, asylum in the United States. He was undergoing an application to seek asylum in the U.S. I believe I read reports saying that there were possibly two shooters. I'm not quite sure about that, but the one shooter has been caught, and his name and information has been published. That happened in the U.S. Trump has already announced that he is going to put a stop to migration from Afghanistan. He has already announced this. Afghan asylum seeker has been identified as the suspect of the D.C. National Guard shooting, and the U.S. freezes immigration requests from Afghanistan in response to D.C. attack. In Hong Kong, we have another tragedy, which is that a high-rise building caught fire. And the casualties are significant. At the time of this recording, the fire still rages, and 55 people, I believe, have been confirmed killed in this high-rise fire. So that's DC, that's Hong Kong. Unfortunately, some bad news to start out this video update. Let's now turn our attention to more bad news, which is that the EU is continuing its rearmament. It's continuing its push to prepare for some sort of military conflict with Russia. We are getting reports which claims, this is coming from Politico, that Europe is now considering some sort of retaliation against Russia for the alleged drones and cyber attacks and stuff like this. There are now European leaders, policy makers and policy thinkers who are now preparing for a retaliation against Russia. The political article has the title, Europe Thinks the Unthinkable, Retaliating Against Russia. Countries are looking at joint offensive cyber operations and surprise military drills as Moscow steps up the campaign to destabilize NATO allies. Yes, it is Moscow that is destabilizing the NATO allies. Yep. Blame it on Russia. They're the destabilizing force in all of this. The drones that hover over Belgium and Berlin. Those drones. So let's read some more of what is going on according to Politico. And of course, driving this thinking of the unthinkable, retaliating against Russia is of course someone from one of the Baltic states, the foreign minister of Latvia. Of course, I'm not surprised. Always the Baltic political class that is pushing for escalation. The Russians are constantly testing the limits. What is the response? How far can we go? Latvian Foreign Minister Baiba Braze noted in an interview. A more proactive response is needed, she told Politico. And it's not talking that sends a signal. It's doing. Russian drones have buzzed Poland and Romania in recent weeks and months, while mysterious drones have caused havoc at airports and military bases across the continent. Other incidents include GPS jamming, incursions by fighter aircraft and naval vessels, and an explosion on a key Polish rail link ferrying military aid to Ukraine. Yeah, that explosion on the Polish rail link. Okay. And the GPS jamming, I imagine what she is referring to, this foreign minister, she is probably referring to Ursula's plane landing in Bulgaria, right? In Bulgaria, I believe Plovdiv is where she was. She was landing and there was this GPS jamming. Yep. The Russian GPS jamming, which was proven to be completely false and fictitious. All of it has been proven false and fictitious by I believe it was flight radar that proved that it was all a bogus story that the EU put out there with Ursula's plane landing in Bulgaria, and they had to use paper maps and all of that nonsense. Yep, this is all a good reason. All of this stuff is a good reason to build up your military, to prepare for some sort of a smash with Russia. Actually, Lukashenko, he even said, as I think he's attending the CSTO meeting, and he even said that Europe is obviously rearming so that they can enter into some sort of a conflict in the next couple of years with Russia. That is what Lukashenko said. So the NATO CTO, Mark Rutte, Mr. Pinocchio, he said that NATO is ruling out any type of Russian veto on Ukraine joining the alliance. There are the provisions in the bullet points in the 28-point plan actually has the bullet points where it says that Ukraine is not going to enter NATO. It doesn't really get into the specifics of how this is going to happen. It just says that NATO is going to put it in its charter that Ukraine will not be allowed to join. In the revised 19-point plan, I don't think they mentioned none of the Ukraine-NATO stuff in the revised 19-point plan. But we can't enter. And I wanted to enter. Oh, well, we can check it out from the outside. Where else should we go? Actually, let's walk up. Where should we go? Anyone in Sofia watching this video, where should I go? Let's go up and across. Let's do that, because it is now starting to rain. So anyway, Rutte, he is saying that if there's going to be any kind of deal between Russia and the United States, which concerns Ukraine and NATO, well, only NATO can decide who enters the alliance. Basically, it's Rutte telling Trump that he cannot decide if Ukraine joins NATO or not. It's Rutte putting his foot down towards President Trump. But Rutte, he wanted to take the sting out of his comment, according to Politico. Rutte took some of the sting out of his comment by insisting that he has positive feelings for U.S. President Donald Trump. I like the guy, he said. I like him. I like him a lot. Yep. Rutte is telling Trump, you don't decide about Ukraine joining NATO. NATO decides. Ukraine decides and NATO decides, U.S. President Trump. But I like you a lot. What's Trump going to say about Rutte? I don't like him. I don't like him at all. Now, let me open this umbrella here. All right. So now the video gets challenging. So that's Rutte. And what else? What else is going on? I already forgot my next topic. Yes, more EU buildup. France is going to be instituting voluntary military service, 10-month voluntary military stint in France. All of this is once again because of Russia. So France joins Europe's military service bandwagon. And then we have this story, which is that Sweden seeks long-range missiles that can strike deep into Russia. In an interview to Reuters on Tuesday, Swedish Defense Minister Pål Jonson said that the country must build a stronger deterrent to Russia's growing long-range capabilities. Last month, he warned that people living in European NATO states should prepare for a possible war with Russia, And they're seeking long-range missiles that can travel 2,000 kilometers. So that, according to the Swedish defense minister, they can hit Moscow. Sweden wants to hit Moscow. How about that? So let's talk about stunning and brave Kaja Kallas. Stunning and brave. And someone put up on X this photo of the stunning and the brave dials with reference to Kaja Kallas. Actually, this photo, this image was in a comment underneath Kallas's latest statement on Project Ukraine. She had a meeting with other EU officials, and then she gave a four or five minute speech on Project Ukraine and the negotiations between the U.S. and Russia, between the U.S. and Ukraine, if you want to call them negotiations. She gave her thoughts, Kaja Kallas. And boy, did she give an incredible speech, that Kaja Kallas. The statements that she made, the statements that she made, I have to say, were some of her most powerful, some of her best statements on Project Ukraine to date. Let me just say that Kaya Kallas has pulled out in front of the race for Clown World of the Year with her latest statements on Project Ukraine. Kaya Kallas, she said that those who claim that Russia is winning the conflict, she said that is false. How do I cross? How do I cross? Let's see here. Yeah, she said that the claims that Russia is winning, it's all false. And I'm stuck. How do I get to the other side? That is the challenge. Okay, let's walk up that way. We'll figure it out somehow. All right, so yeah, she said, she also said that Russia needs to make concessions. She said that as well. And one of the concessions that has to be imposed on Moscow is that there needs to be limits on the size of Russia's military as well as Russia's military budget. She actually said that. She said that the collective West has to impose limits on Russia's military size and military budget. It was a great speech. It was a great speech from Kaya Kallas, an absolutely great speech. She said that if Putin could take Ukraine militarily, he would have already done so. And the fact that he has not been able to capture Ukraine militarily shows that he can't do it, and so he is trying to negotiate his way out of this. Yeah, it's Putin. Putin is trying to negotiate his way out of Project Ukraine. He is trying to accomplish his goals. I believe Kallas said he's trying to accomplish his goals through negotiation because he cannot capture Ukraine militarily. Yeah, I'm not going to get to the other side, obviously, so I'm gonna walk down this way. Let's see what's down this way. So yeah, that's Kallas. That's the speech that she gave. It was her Mona Lisa of speeches. The speech that will give her Clown World of the Year, that's for sure. She's definitely in the lead, no doubt about it. Let me see if there's anything else that I'm missing from her latest statements. Let's see. The notion that Ukraine is losing is flat out false. If Russia could have conquered Ukraine militarily, it would have already done so by now. Putin cannot complete his goals on the battlefield, so he would try to negotiate his way there. And then Kallas, she said that US and EU sanctions are working. Energy revenues for Russia are shrinking, and Russia is losing cash and troops. And so Kallas' solution going forward is not to negotiate with Russia, at least not yet, but to keep the pressure going and to seize the Russian frozen assets. You gotta take those Russian frozen assets. That's her solution. More sanctions, more escalation, and take those frozen assets. Come on, Belgium. Kallas is actually saying, what is wrong with you, Belgium? She's actually saying that. What's wrong with you, Belgium? Take those frozen assets. Come on. What are you guys waiting for? So that's stunning and brave. And And Ursula agrees. Yeah, Ursula agrees with Stunning and Brave. It looks like they've put their differences aside because it was being reported that there was some sort of Game of Thrones power struggle between Vanderpirate and Stunning and Brave. That is what Politico was reporting last week. But now it looks like they are on the same page, at least when it comes to Project Ukraine and to taking the Russian frozen assets. Ursula once again is trying to pressure Belgium into handing over the Russian frozen assets from Euroclear to the Zelensky regime. And Ursula's pitch to Belgium is that they do not have to worry about any legal fallout. She claims that the EU legal team, they've gone through everything, all the risks, all the dangers involved with seizing the Russian frozen assets, and their message to Belgium is don't worry. Don't worry at all. We've got you covered. Our legal team, they are guaranteeing, well, maybe not guaranteeing, they're telling me that everything is going to be okay. So hand over the 200 billion or 180 billion or 140 billion, hand that over to the Green Goblin. Don't even worry about all the corruption scandals and stuff like that. Just hand it over, and Belgium, everything is going to be okay. Come on, Belgium. Why don't you want to ruin your economy? Why don't you want to ruin the reputation of Euroclear for the Green Goblin? Come on, for Zelensky. What's the big deal? What is the big deal? Just give that money over to Zelensky. That is what van der Leyen is saying. According to her, there is no scenario in which the cost of Ukraine would be paid solely by European taxpayers. It won't be paid solely by European taxpayers. 99% will be paid by European taxpayers. The other 1% will handle it, as the Brussels elite. The globalists will take care of the 1% of the cost. The other 99%, that'll be paid by the European taxpayers. Euroclear actually sent a message to van der Leyen the other day, and they warned her once again, for like the upteenth time, not to continue to push to take the frozen assets. Such a mechanism would be perceived as confiscation outside the European Union and spook investors. The mechanism that Euroclear is referring to in the letter that they sent to van der Leyen. Another letter that they sent to van der Leyen is the mechanism where they take the frozen assets and it becomes an IOU, and then they hand it to Ukraine in the form of reparations loan and all of that nonsense. Anyway, that is the message coming out of Euroclear. Now let's talk about the leaked phone calls, the Ushakov-Witkoff phone calls, Ushakov-Dmitriev phone calls. We are now getting U.S. lawmakers who are pushing for the firing of Witkoff because of these nothing burger phone call leaks, absolutely nothing burger phone call leaks. Even Trump, when asked about these phone calls, it's a big puddle. Even Trump, when he was asked about these phone calls, he stepped up to defend Witkoff, and he said, come on, guys, this is like standard negotiations. You talk to the other party, you strategize, you try to come to understandings and solutions for your approach. He's like, this is one big nothing burger. And Trump is right, man. It is one big freaking nothing burger. But you have the preparations of Russiagate 3. That's what this is all about. This is the foundation, the preparation for Russiagate 3.0. Or is it Russiagate 4.0? I'm losing count. But you know that come next year, the midterms, if the Democrats win the House, possibly the Senate, that they're going to use all of this for another run at Russiagate, the Russiagate narrative. Witkoff is a Putin puppet, and Trump is a Putin puppet, and everyone's a Putin puppet, right? That's what this is all about. And they are calling for some sort of Witkoff firing. That is what they are calling for. Some publications are even saying they're hinting that Witkoff is some sort of a traitor or something like that. Nonsense, man. Absolute nonsense. So that's what's going on with the phone calls. But Ushakov, he actually talked about these phone calls to Russian media, and he said that some of it is fake, but he also pretty much said that a lot of it is also real. But once again, I don't think it's that important, because what they said during these leaked phone calls was nothing scandalous at all. But he also admitted, Ushakov, that he was speaking with Witkoff through secure lines, but he also spoke with Witkoff via WhatsApp. WhatsApp. Oh, man. Not good. Definitely not good. In English. Please don't sit here in English as well. So obviously some tourists, some English speakers decided to sit there. Anyway, so that was Ushakov during an interview with Russian media. And there is a lot of speculation now that the people behind this leak, the agencies behind this leak, it may have been U.S. deep state, but there's a lot of speculation that this may have been some sort of European intel, or maybe even some UK intel. Remember the other day, there was a report from Russian foreign intel saying that the UK was going to try to sabotage these talks. On Zero Hedge, they have a good article from Andrew Karipko on this, where the Brits behind Bloomberg's Russian-US leaks. So there is a lot of speculation that this could have been leaked by the UK or by European intel. But the leaks probably, would be my guess, and I was speaking to Alexander about this, that the leaks were probably from the U.S. deep state looking to derail the Russia-U.S. Talks. But what they might have done is, because a lot of this is illegal, I mean, this is some illegal stuff that is going on. You're involved in active negotiations, active diplomacy as the United States of America with another country. And there's this leak which compromises U.S. national interests and U.S. National security. So this is some serious stuff. So what might have happened is that the intel agencies in the U.S., this is just a guess, they might have outsourced this to the U.K. or to Europe, right? And even The Guardian is reporting, this is interesting, The Guardian is reporting that what was given to Bloomberg wasn't even a transcript. What was given to Bloomberg was the actual, like, audio file that was given to Bloomberg, which is really interesting. So they didn't get a transcript of the calls between Ushakov and Witkoff. They actually got the audio of the call between Ushakov and Witkoff. This is what The Guardian is reporting. So that's an interesting side note to this story. Anyway, Ryabkov, the deputy foreign minister for Russia, he came out with a statement and he said there will be no concessions to Ukraine from Moscow. I think that is the highest from the Russian foreign ministry, the highest up, strongest statement from the Russian foreign ministry coming from Ryabkov, saying that, there's negotiations that are taking place. But believe me, there will be no concessions made to Ukraine. Istanbul Plus is as good as they are going to get if you go off of Ryabkov's statement. And I would believe Ryabkov. On the front lines, the situation continues to be catastrophic for the Ukraine military in Guliapole. The advance continues. I believe this is the women's market right here, Zhenskaya the Zhinskaya Market here in Sofia. So Russia's advancing very quickly in Guliapole and the Zaporozhye direction. They're advancing in all directions. But the quick advance that has kind of shocked everybody and shows that the Ukraine defenses are crumbling is the advance in the direction of Zaporozhye and Guliapole. And believe me, if there was no quick Russian advance, military advance, and Ukraine military collapse, none of these negotiations, any of this stuff would be taking place. It's all driven by the catastrophic situation on the front lines. So let's wrap up this video with some clown worlds. We start with Christia Freeland. And this news story came out a couple of days ago, so I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. But Christia Freeland, who is under Carney, I believe she is a Ukraine special envoy, she is going to be moving to the UK. That's right. And she's going to become the CEO of the Rhodes Trust. The Rhodes Trust is the institution, organization that picks the Rhodes Scholars. Ah, those Rhodes Scholars. They indoctrinate them. They pick them when they're young, and they give them the scholarships, and they prepare them for a life of public service, right? So, she's going to head up the Rhodes Trust, the Rhodes Scholarship in the UK, where most likely the Zelensky government will be in exile. It's either the UK or France. That's my guess. I don't think Zelensky's going to be in Miami. Something tells me that he's not going to be in the United States. Something tells me London or Paris. That's where the government in exile will be. First, it'll be Lviv. Then it'll probably go to Poland. And then it'll head to London or Paris, France. Anyway, the Baltic nations, they're now seeking a bailout. They want an economic bailout from the EU, because they are experiencing an economic collapse. The reason they're experiencing economic collapse, economic difficulties, I won't say collapse, maybe that's too strong of a word, but the reason they have these economic difficulties is because of the sanctions against Russia and the cutting off of tourism with Russia. And so you have entire sectors in the economies in the Baltic countries. Also, Finland as well is also looking for money from the EU. Entire sectors, entire towns that once thrived on Russian tourism are going under. And so there is a plan being put together to bail out the Baltics, including Finland and some other countries that relied on Russian business and Russian tourism. And instead of fixing the situation with Russia, maybe using some diplomacy and maybe rolling back some of the tourist restrictions, nope, they're not going to go that route. Instead, what they're going to do is they are going to come up with a bailout and some sort of a fund. And who's going to pay for all of this? Well, taxpayers. Taxpayers and the money printers, the money printing of Christine Lagarde. That's the solution that they have come up with. All right, let's end the video. I've spotted a beautiful church in the distance. So let's make our way over to the church. And we are wrapping up the video. And I also got to the good part. I arrived to the food part of the market. So let's check it out. No more news. That was the clown world. I don't think I have any other news stories to talk about. Oh, Grinnell There are reports that Grinnell is going to be going to Venezuela in order to talk to Maduro. So that's some news. And also, we are getting reports that, well, we got confirmation that the European Parliament has approved the 16-plus requirement for social media. So you're going to have to be 16 years and older to access social media. I don't know how they're going to do it in the European Union. So that was also approved. The Ministry of Truth. Ministry of Truth begins with the 16-year-olds. What a beautiful church. That's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram. And we are also on Substack. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. The link is in the description box down below. 1897. Khram Kirill Metodi. The Cyrillic alphabet, right?